The Catholic Channel Sirius XM 129 presents Just Love with your host, Monsignor Kevin Sullivan, Executive Director of Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of New York.
Hey, welcome to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. This is our weekly conversation about what's going on in the world from the perspective of our Catholic values. And as we kind of say all the time, just love. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. And the world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. Well, we finished Thanksgiving. So I want to report from everybody. Jake, so tell me, how was your Thanksgiving and what did you do in terms of cooking?
Oh, it was great. I had my girlfriend's family over, so it was the first time I made a turkey or did most of that. And I did turkey, I did stuffings, I did potatoes, I did gravy. I used Gordon Ramsay's videos for all of it. I can't recommend those enough. I did like a bacon mushroom stuffing, and then I actually put strips of bacon over the turkey to kind of keep the skin good and make the gravy delicious. And I always defer to Gordon Ramsay on all things cooking, so I recommend the listeners do the same.
Okay, not bad. Tasted good and all of that type of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Good. And you get success?
Absolutely.
Good. So, Fanny, so let's check it out. I know you kind of have a midnight snack because your dad works on Thanksgiving Day, so you're kind of picking around all day, and then you kind of eat around midnight.
Yep.
How'd it go?
So, I make empanadas.
Oh, okay.
So, empanadas, for people who don't know, they're like... I don't even know how to describe it, but there's kind of like a yeast, a very thin yeast, and you put either chicken or beef.
Okay, for us kind of gringo type.
Yeah.
It's an apple turnover.
Okay, that's a good idea, yeah.
Like a dumpling, yeah.
Yeah, like a dumpling.
Yeah.
Thicker, I think.
Actually, you know, from the point of view, and I want to do that. How about we do this for a show sometime? Because I believe that almost every culture has its equivalent of empanadas.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, not exactly. And the yeah. real kind of cook type people will be upset with me for saying this. But, you know, like a samosa.
Okay.
A samosa,
right.
Is...
Or pierogi.
Yeah, pierogi. They're mm-hmm. kind of versions of empanadas.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know,
mm-hmm.
so everybody's kind of got them in, what do you call those things? Calzone? In Italian,
yeah.
You know, they're kind of like that. They all, but what I think what makes them different is almost every country or every culture, they stuff them with different stuff.
Right, mm-hmm. Different seasonings. You
yeah.
can customize them.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, like I just forgot. The calzone oftentimes usually has a lot of cheese in it.
Yeah,
doesn't
right.
It?
Right.
Yeah,
which
okay.
is great.
All right,
cheese.
So, but Fanny, did you make Thanksgiving empanadas?
They're, I mean, not really.
Because you mean you didn't
no turkey.
No turkey.
No, I told you, we have a turkey, but we don't really eat turkey because we're Dominican and my parents are from the island. They grew up there. So we have a turkey because we're in the United States and we must celebrate Thanksgiving.
So what do? You just put it on the table and you look at it?
We eat it, but not as much as the pernil or the, my mom also made the lamb chops or the pork chops.
Well,
that
that's
we were
what
talking
you liked
about.
It, the chuletas.
Yes, I had that chuletas, yeah.
Okay.
That's what I had.
Okay. All right.
At like 10 o'clock when my dad got home.
Okay.
I did do a roasted pork belly with mine too. So it was
okay.
I kind of did the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of that, one of the things I did on Thanksgiving before going to my family in Connecticut is I stopped at one of our programs in Washington Heights, Alianza Dominicana,
mm-hmm.
which is a great after-school program that helps kids stay in school, succeed in school, get a future career, summer program, year-round, great program, serving a few thousand youths. Well, what they do on Thanksgiving Day in one of the housing projects where they're located in a program, they serve a Thanksgiving meal. And they get the sea cadets to help out and people on staff help out. And they also bring some home-delivered meal. So I stop out there and I kind of serve for a little bit, talk to the people up there. It's a great part of my Thanksgiving tradition. But I was serving both turkey and pernil.
You see?
See, they had both of that. And so what I kind of did, if Can we keep this as our little secret?
Sure.
I served a lot of pernil, so there was turkey left over that I could take. Not really, but anyway. But
I'm sure they didn't miss the turkey much.
No, but actually, you know, it was interesting because you didn't know because some of the cadets and everybody was coming up and getting plates for people going back to their plates.
Right.
You know, when they got it, you weren't quite sure whether they were going to like the turkey, the pernil, kind of everybody pretty got
everything.
Got a little bit of everything. So, but it was good. It was good. So, but what I want to do now is I kind of want to move beyond Thanksgiving. I want to get us ready for Christmas. And tomorrow, for most of you when you're listening to the show, we'll begin our season of Advent, our season beginning the 4 weeks of preparing for Christmas. But I want to speak about a wonderful initiative that the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints have begun, and they have graciously invited Catholic Charities and others to be a partner in this. And I am delighted that we have Andrea Combs, who is the Director of Community Outreach for the Greater New York City area, with us here in the studio. And she and I froze yesterday in New York City because we inaugurated the giving machine. So, Andrea, tell us a little bit about yourself, and thank you for being with us on Just Love. Give our listeners a little bit of your brief biography.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me. First of all, Monsignor Sullivan, it's great to be here. As you say, I am the Director of Community Outreach for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for not just New York City, but kind of the greater area, metro area. And I've lived in the city now for 13 years. I came here to get a master's in social work from Columbia University, and I just loved it so much. This is a great place to be, to just be among the human family. I've just really enjoyed it here.
So where were you before you came to New York for your social work degree?
I was at Brigham Young University in Utah.
Okay. There are a lot of members of your church there, aren't there?
Yes, there are. That's just a few.
So give me a little bit of the history. Give me a little bit of the history, because, I mean, now that you're in New York, you know that we're the center of the universe, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So
absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about how your founder found his way from the East Coast all the way out to Utah, because that was like a century or more ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was in the 1830s.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was even before I was born.
Right. Me too. Yeah, it's great. Joseph Smith was actually, he was born in Vermont, but he moved to upstate New York.
So again, you're the greater New York City area. That
right.
includes Vermont.
Absolutely.
Right.
The whole Eastern Seaboard. And then eventually made his trek west with all the pioneers. And actually, I have three children, and two of my children are named after New Yorkers that started up in upstate New York and then made the trek west.
What are their names?
Alfred, we call him Alfie, and Polly.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. So the church that I lived in for over a decade, probably 14 years or so, Corpus Christi Church, which is in that Morningside Heights part of New York City where Columbia University is, actually is right around the corner from the new social work school. Did you go to the new one or the old one?
I did. I was, I think, the second class.
Okay.
The new one. Yeah, it was a beautiful campus.
And I actually, one of my graduate degrees is from Columbia, but it's from the School of International Public Affairs, which is kind of right down Amsterdam Avenue.
Yeah, there. I took advantage and took several classes from there.
That's great. So did you live in that area when you were there?
I did. I lived on 113th Street.
Okay. So anyway, so we're glad that you came to New York. But now let's talk about these giving machines. Now, tell our listeners, I think this is a neat idea. So tell us what these giving machines are.
Okay, so it's a neat idea. It's absolutely fabulous, and we're so excited not only to have them in the city, but to partner with so many wonderful partnerships. We have, as you know, Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of New York and Westside Campaign Against Hunger. We have two global agencies, UNICEF USA, CARE, and ArtStart, partnering with us. And the giving machines are essentially vending machines. We thought, you know, let's try and, as you say, we're moving out of the thanks part of the season and into the giving part of the season.
Oh, that sounds good. I'm going to steal that one, Andrea. Fanny, what do you think?
Good. That was good. That was really nice.
We'll steer it.
Yeah. Okay. And so these are the giving machines. And we thought, you know, let's try and make giving easier for people and more accessible. And what's easier than a vending machine? So these vending machines, which are located right on the corner of 65th and Columbus, right in the heart of Lincoln, the Lincoln Square District, and right in front of our, right in front of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints temple. And they're vending machines. And you can go up there. You use your credit card, no cash required. Use your credit card and you can select from many different product or many different services or products that you can buy for people. And like I said, our different partners have kind of given us their wish list of what they want in the vending machines. And we have things from $2 all the way up to $200. So you can buy, I know my kids, my boys are really excited to buy fish. You can buy fingerling fishes for $2.
Wow.
You can buy seeds for $15. You can buy a pair of socks for someone, a box of pasta, a gallon of milk, a cow. You can even buy a cow.
Somebody said you could even buy a goat.
You can buy a goat. A goat's a little cheaper than a cow.
Okay. But so for our listeners, I mean, we all know, and this is kind of an intriguing thing, and Andrea has really, I think, spoken about it very well. But, you know, nonprofit organizations and charities, we need to raise money. And that's because we need the money to support the work we do and to the help people we need. And fortunately, Americans are generally very, very generous. But there's a lot of competition out there. And so you kind of have to try to come up with ways to help people to give. And sometimes, yeah, okay, I'll admit it. Some of them might be a little gimmicky.
Right.
But there's nothing wrong with a gimmick if it works and it's within bounds. And so, you know, we all buy things from vending machines.
Right.
You know, and we're used to putting in a credit card and doing it. The most recent stuff, which I've become aware of in the past 4 or 5 years, which are really kind of neat, is when you go to airports.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you almost every one of our listeners has gotten to the airport and left their charger at home.
Yep, I've done it.
Yep, I've done it too. And I've, you know, and I, you know, God forbid we would be out without a charged phone, right? I mean, I think,
right.
I don't know, in our Catholic religion, I don't know if in the Church of the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, if it's the same, but like, a dead iPhone is close to a mortal sin.
It's true.
And it's also generational, too. I mean, the younger you are, the bigger a sin it is. I mean, but anyway, so I'm used to, you go to the airport, and when I forgot my charger, you go there, mm-hmm. you put your credit card in, and you get your charger. So this builds on kind of that idea of, okay, but now I don't get the gift. But somebody in need is going to get a gift from one of the charities that is there. So Andrea, can I tell you, can I do a little fessing up of the
absolutely.
How useless I am in this stuff? So I decided I was going to be generous yesterday. So I pulled out my credit card and I looked and there was a Metro card. I figured Metro cards are good things to buy for people. So I looked over and it was number 304, or so I thought. And I put it in 304. And what came out was a basketball.
Oh, which is also great.
Yeah. But because I had misread 304 for 504 and whatever. So that was my old and decrepit eyesight kind of seeing the wrong thing. But when I thought about it, I said, I'm glad I got a basketball because, you know, basketballs are good things.
Right. Well, that's the great thing about these vending machines is, you know, when you go to get a candy bar or a soda or whatever, and you do click the wrong one, and you get the anticipation of getting the wrong thing, it's a bummer. So this way, if you get the wrong thing, there's no downside.
Good.
There's no downside. Yeah.
The other thing though could be if you kind of don't pay attention and you click the wrong number, you could be making like a $250 contribution as opposed to a $50.
Yes,
but that's all right. I got to tell you, Andrea, I was a little skeptical and I was going to go to one of the leaders of the church because when this all happened, I thought this may have been bait and switch.
Oh.
that I was supposed to get that. But no, it was my mistake with regard to doing this. Andrea, I mentioned, I know we're just so proud of our partnership at Catholic Charities in this endeavor, but there are a lot of other good organizations.
Absolutely.
Who are some of the other good organizations that are part of this?
So we have West Side Campaign Against Hunger. And so they've put in the machines. They've got a lot of food items. Like I said, we have got a box of pasta or a can of tuna, a bushel of New York State apples you can buy.
I can contribute them next year for my apple picking.
Well, there you go. And we have a wonderful organization, a local one, Art Start, that helps local artists. And so get an art supply kit for teens. You can buy some youth dance costumes and classes. You can buy a Metro card for an emerging artist or a child art supply kit. You can also buy a new mother shelter kit with them. And then, so those are our local partners. And then we also have some global partners. We have CARE, and that's where you can get your cow and your seeds and your chickens. And then we have
UNICEF.
If
I'm doing it, I'm buying a goat. I want to buy
it.
A goat.
Go for it. and then we have UNICEF USA. And with UNICEF, you can buy malaria treatment, mosquito nets, polio vaccines, jump ropes.
I got to tell you, we always got to be a little careful with the branding. When I look quickly, I thought you were buying malaria.
Definitely not buying malaria.
I say, I don't want to buy malaria, but we're buying the vaccine against it.
Yeah, yes, treatment, yes, yeah, and mosquito nets to try and prevent malaria.
Right.
Definitely not buying malaria.
one of the things that we learned about this was, sometimes when a new play comes to town, you test it off Broadway before you bring it to Broadway. So just for our listeners, yesterday where these vending machines, they're at the Latter-day Saints Temple, which is there, which is literally on Broadway.
Right, it is.
On Broadway. But this was tested last year off Broadway, wasn't it?
It was. It was tested in Salt Lake City, and they had just one machine up for less time than we're going to have these machines up for, just for a few weeks. And just in those few weeks, in one city, they had over $500,000 of donations, and that was almost 22,000 single transactions.
Wow!
So 22,000 people had the opportunity to give. And, and it was easy. And let's also be clear, when they're buying these things, a pair of socks isn't falling down. There's a picture of what they're donating. So you're not going to get a cow or a goat.
I was almost ready to spring for the $300 for the goat if the goat was going to pop out.
So yeah, there's the picture. And then 100% of your donation goes towards that or an equivalent of that. The church is covering all the administration costs to make that possible.
Now, I know that this only just began very, very recently, so I don't imagine we have any idea of how the first couple of days do we?
We don't. Asked that, but
that's fine. We'll figure it out soon enough.
I'll keep you posted, though.
Keep me posted.
You can update your listeners.
Yeah, because I said to everybody yesterday, and I know we have listeners throughout the country, but I said at this little kind of event we had yesterday, I thought that we New Yorkers should be able to do over $1 million in this time. So.
I think so. I think we can. Yeah. I absolutely think we can do that. And also for your listeners across the country, these machines are going up in Gilbert, Arizona, in Salt Lake City, and in London, and in Manila, Philippines.
So tell our listeners a little bit about how'd you decide to do those places, particularly London and Manila?
To be honest, I'm not sure how they picked the international ones, but I know the giving machines are in connection with our campaign Light the World.
Okay.
And so as part of Light the World, last year they had a series of videos every day. It was an Advent calendar,
right.
And every day you did something of service, some way to light the world. I know, as I mentioned, I've got three young children, and we did something. That was our Advent calendar last year, and the kids absolutely adored it. It was a small video, and it showed us what we were going to do to that day, either reach out to a neighbor or help a stranger, or, you know, whatever it was that kind of gave you a roadmap of what you were going to do for the month. And one of the very first videos was this giving machine, and our kids just went ballistic. They said, I would love to do this. And so that's the church kind of did it in Salt Lake last year and tested it out. And it was a huge success. And so they decided, let's not only light the world with these machines in Salt Lake, let's go globally. And so we picked New York, of course, because, as you know,
right,
it is
the center of the universe.
That's right.
As you found out for the past 10 years.
Yes. And then, Salt Lake City is a...
And we're very generous because we want to share that fact with the world.
Absolutely, yes. So, and then I'm not quite sure how they picked London and Manila. I know we have large...
missionaries?
We have large Latter-day Saint populations there.
Okay.
And it could be also the property, you know. But but we wanted to expand it and light the world. Literally.
That is just so, so wonderful. It was really great. And, you know, with all of these things, what kind of I think we would both say from our own respective traditions is one of the things that for me, which is so great about being a Christian, is we don't have to save the world because Jesus Christ saved the world.
Amen.
And so, but we got to do our part. Mm-hmm. So even when we do little things, what we call attention to is the big stuff. And so we have a great appreciation in our Catholic tradition for the role of symbol and sacrament, because we believe that symbols and sacraments participate in the broader reality. So, okay, one goat isn't going to save the world, but it may help one family to get through the year. And what that communicates to people is, hey, wait a minute. There are a lot of other ways that we need to be generous individually, as families, as a city, as a country, as a world. And so it kind of brings us out of ourselves to look at some of those broader things, which admittedly are harder to tackle.
Right.
Because some of them are a little controversial, because some of them have implications where we get divided from each other.
Right.
But I think the value of stuff like this is, if you can't get united around doing something to help a neighbor, a family in need, well, then we got real problems with that.
Well, and that's one of the things that's so great about this is, obviously, as you mentioned, like, our motivation and your motivation for partnering together is our discipleship of Jesus Christ. But for others, that might not be the motivation, but it's a universal principle of you know, just love.
Right.
And just serve and just help. And that crosses... you know, that crosses religious lines and political lines. And so it's so wonderful. And, you know, some of our partners are religious and some are, you know, more community based.
Right.
And so it's so great that we get to partner together, as you say, in this unifying idea.
And the other thing, which this giving machine demonstrates without any equivocation, that something which I think that sometimes religions get a little bit of a bad reputation for, because sometimes, and let's be fair, sometimes there is a perception of us being overly sectarian, overly closed in on ourselves, not open to others. And I would say that that sometimes there's been a little bit of truth of that, certainly in our Catholic tradition and in other Christian denominations too, that maybe we haven't always been as open, and there is a little bit among some of intolerance, etc. But what this communicates is exactly the opposite. You know, that, and as you mentioned, partnering with other Christian groups, partnering with secular groups, partnering with international groups, basically is a communication that we're not religious just for only people who overtly profess our own faith, but we're in the world trying to work it out with a lot of people.
Right. I mean, we're all family, right?
Yeah.
We're one big human family, and we need to help each other.
Yeah, and even some of the members of our own family who we showed up at Thanksgiving who we didn't want to sit next to, even they're part of our part
Absolutely.
Of our.
They are too.
So yep. I didn't ask you where were you for Thanksgiving?
I was here in the city. We actually partnered with Sheath Israel on 70th Street and did a packathon in the morning. And the parade route goes right by their synagogue, so we were able to. I took my three kids and my husband, and we went and we packed some little packages for homeless New Yorkers. We put some scarves and gloves and some food in there for them, and my kids decorated some of the bags, and then we were able to kind of go up on the street and see the parade go by as well.
Did you get a good view?
Oh, great. It was a great view.
Oh, that is wonderful. That is good. So, Andrea, thank you for being with us, and more importantly, thank you what you're doing in directing
you.
Community outreach, and I'm just so glad we're partnering, and we're gonna do a lot more.
Yep.
Thanks for being with us on Just Love. Andrea Combs is the Director of Community Outreach of the Greater New York City Area for the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, and Catholic Charities is partnering with them on Giving Machines, where basically instead of you putting your money in and getting a charger for a phone or a candy bar, you put your money in and you give your money and somebody else gets a wonderful, necessary gift of maybe gloves or maybe a baby stroller or even a goat if they're in another country. So that's a wonderful partnership that we're doing. So let's take a break. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Just do it. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. And our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. Thanks for being with us on Just Love. This is the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Now, let's get back to Just Love and your host, Monsignor Kevin Sullivan.
Welcome back to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Just do it. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. Our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. And so we just were speaking about giving machines. And as we move from the season of thanks to the season of giving, we kind of talk about the wonderful initiative that the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints is partnering with Catholic Charities and a number of other organizations to invite people to give to their neighbors in need with the practical stuff that will help them to have a better season, to live their lives in greater dignity. So we're delighted that we were able to speak with Andrea Combs about that. So Fanny, there's, and this is a little bit in your self-interest.
Yeah.
As a Jersey girl.
Yeah.
So there's a birthday today of not a person, but a thing
yep.
that people are celebrating. So tell our listeners, what birthday are they celebrating this week?
Sure. It's to celebrate the 108th anniversary of the existing tunnel to Penn Station, which is now falling apart and in need of replacement.
So we got to set the stage for our people. So,
okay.
So if you guys remember your history, remember mm-hmm. like 300 or 400 years ago, 400 years ago, actually, when Manhattan was an island and it was bought for $24, right? So from the Native Americans to the Dutch, okay, $24. But they bought an island. So mm-hmm. so what you got to remember is we're stuck on this island.
Yep.
Okay? So we need bridges and tunnels. Otherwise, we can't get off the island.
Mm-hmm.
And trains can't get off or onto the island without tunnels. So what Fanny's talking about in her own self-interest is the tunnel that takes the trains from Manhattan to New Jersey and then down to Washington, D.C. and throughout the rest of the country to the west. So, mm-hmm. okay, so why are these people celebrating the birthday of the tunnel?
So the governor is to meet with President Trump just to negotiate a deal to repair it, et cetera, et cetera. But it's funny because they made a cake out of it. So what they did was they commissioned a vanilla cake from a Hoboken bakery, and it's featuring a stalled fondant train with angry fondant passengers and gravel made out of Oreo, which sounds delicious.
I'll get on that train.
Yeah, so will I. But it's really cool. I mean, it's crazy, the numbers behind it. This article by Politico says that in 1910, 116 trains were used weekly, and the number has grown to 450. So that also, the equivalent to that is in 1910, the tunnel provided over 12,000 daily passenger trips. Now it's at 200,000. And because of Sandy and things like that, then it's deteriorating.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we need a new tunnel.
We need a new tunnel because how am I going to get here?
New tunnel for Fanny.
Yeah. Thank you, New York City.
Okay. So now, I mean, one of the things that we, as part of our Catholic social values, is the value of work. Work is critically important. It's constitutive of the person. That it really is necessary to for human dignity. We all know stories that when people lose their job, how they can get depressed, how they can feel very, very useless about themselves. In addition, that sometimes that enables families to get into very, very sad states. They don't have enough food. They may not be able to pay the rent or a mortgage. So jobs are very important to us. Now, there was an announcement this past week about General Motors. Fanny, what's the news about General Motors and jobs?
So the president spoke to the president of General Motors, correct?
Right. Yeah.
And told that president to kind of step it up. They closed, I believe it was 15 locations across the country.
Okay. So General Motors announced this past week that they were closing factories and plants and offices in different parts of the country that would result in close to 15,000 jobs being reduced. Some of those jobs, I think, might go to places overseas and they might go to other countries. And they were claiming that part of the reason for that is that the tariffs that have been imposed make it more expensive to manufacture cars here. So the reason I think it's important for our listeners to pay attention to these things is because we do believe that policies need to consider how they affect jobs, how they affect the dignity of work and things like that, without, you know, saying that we have an easy solution to it, so that, you know, when people impose tariffs, as was done, what implications does that have in terms of how our own economy functions? How does it affect other countries? And so this is a very, very important important item for us to pay attention to. And I don't believe it's over yet, because, you know, the government, the administration pushed back and said, oh, don't do that. It's a bad thing to do. And there are implications if you do it. And so I don't think just the announcement doesn't solve the problem, but it does point out, from our point of view, from Catholic social teaching, good jobs are very important to the dignity of the human person. We believe that a person does have a right to work and a right to a decent job. So this is very, very, this is very important for us to pay attention to. Fanny, is there any other news that we might want to share?
I think that the only other thing that I kind of had in mind was this past Sunday from last week. There was a sad situation down at the U.S.-Mexico border with the caravan.
Okay. What happened?
So because, you know, people from Central America have been moving up into Mexico and want to move into the United States, you know, they have been, for the most part, sleeping in this field next to the border there. So one of the things that happened was that hundreds of migrants rushed the fence, and the U.S. authorities fired tear gas to repel them. So the unrest on Sunday prompted more than 500 Mexican federal police officers to take up positions around the sports complex where more than 5,000 migrants were staying. And then Tijuana police said that 39 migrants have been arrested, and the thing just keeps going on and on. What is interesting is that some of these people are kind of giving up and moving back because they see that there's no way forward. But there are still mother and kids still sleeping there on cardboard boxes, etc.
So this is a very, very difficult situation. And we've talked about the issue of migration for a while and a number of times here. And it's important to pay attention to it. Again, from the point of view of our Catholic social teaching, we believe in a humane and a generous immigration policy. And let's be clear about it, because I think sometimes people misinterpret. We do not believe in illegal immigration. We think people should come in through an orderly process and that they should have to wait their turn to come into the United States. Now, coupled with that, we also believe that that policy should be generous and should be fair. While we believe that it should secure the border, it should also permit opportunities for people to come to the United States. And that's why almost everybody, whether they be Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservative, whatever they are, basically saying that our current policy just isn't working and we need to reform it. The sadness is that the partisanship going on in Washington and throughout the country has for decades now not enabled us to come together and make compromises on what a fair and generous and legal immigration policy should be. So we now get lots of pressures in ways that didn't have to be. And so part of what we're dealing with in this situation is that people are coming to the border. And again, a little bit of a distinction, because these people are asking if they could be granted protection in the United States because where they're coming from is so dangerous and their lives are threatened. And that is, despite what some people might say, that's a very, very legal process. It is a legal process according to international law and according to the law of the United States that you can come and ask to receive protection, which we call asylum, because your own country is too dangerous and you are threatened there. Now, the issue in this case is, how do you do it? How do you just prevent people from coming in anywhere, and how you do it? The sad situation we're in is that the divisiveness of the rhetoric that is going on around immigration doesn't let us to talk about a fair solution or an easy solution or an orderly solution. And so now we hear reports of stones being thrown. We hear reports that tear gas being used. And quite frankly, we can say that that's unacceptable. But we also have to understand that we have a paralysis that we don't have a good way to deal with this. And the partisanship is really causing some very, very difficult situations, and the rhetoric makes it very hard to come up with a situation. So from our Catholic perspective, we believe in a fair and humane immigration policy. We don't believe in illegal immigration. We also believe that everybody has rights, and we need to figure out how we do this much better. And we also believe that those people who are already here in the country, 10 or 11 million, according to most recent thing, while they may not have the proper documents, while they may be technically, according to some, illegal, that we still have to figure out how we deal with that situation in a way which is fair and humane, while we still maintain we need a secure border and we need a policy that doesn't, that protects people. So anyway, it's a challenge, but we have to keep it here. And why is it so important for us as people in the United States? People in the United States, our country is at its core a country that has been made strong, robust, that has protected human rights, has protected human dignity, has enabled people to exercise those human rights, to have an economy that has provided for the overwhelming majority of citizens, not that there aren't people or residents, not that there are people not left out. And because of that, we believe that it is immigration that has made us the strong, robust country that we are. And so we need to figure this out. Anyway, enough of that. We'll take a break when we come back. This is World AIDS Week, and so we're going to speak with somebody from one of the wonderful Catholic Charities programs, Incarnation Children's Center, about AIDS and the programs we're doing to help children and now teenagers who are living with HIV/AIDS. Thanks for being with us on Just Love. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself, and our world will be more just and more compassionate. We'll take a break, and we'll be back on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Yes, could I please?
Just do it. Just love. Just check out Monsignor Kevin Sullivan, who's here right now. Take it away, Monsignor.
I was bruised and battered. I couldn't tell what I felt. Welcome back. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Our weekly conversation about the church in the world. And this week we're celebrating World AIDS Day. And so we're going to speak with Megan Frederick, who is the Director of Development and Public Relations at Incarnation Children's Center, about the work that they're doing up at Incarnation Children's Center. And a very fascinating place. I know the place very, very well. It's been in existence for a few decades. And it is a wonderfully warm place that takes care of children and young adults who are living with the HIV virus. So I'm delighted. Megan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Great. So why, just give our listeners throughout the country, give our listeners a little bit of a sense of what Incarnation Children's Center is.
Absolutely. We've actually been around almost 30 years now. We opened in 1989. To serve the HIV-positive infants and toddlers back at the beginning of the pandemic who were languishing on hospital wards. And over the last 30 years, we've seen great medical advances so that our children are aging, but yet there is still a need to treat their HIV disease and offer them the support they have not had in their childhoods. So we're now a skilled nursing facility who exclusively serves HIV-positive children and teens and young adults.
So what happened? What happened so that the children didn't die, but the children are now kind of living like longer into adulthood? What kind of happened?
They are, yeah. Well, we are very blessed in this country that we have wonderful medical advances and wonderful physicians who dedicated their time to figuring out how we could prolong and improve the lives of HIV-positive individuals. And so there are medications that not only prevent the transmission of HIV from mother to child, but also for those who are HIV positive, there are life-saving and life-prolonging medications that if taken regularly, you know, these individuals can live a long and healthy life like the rest of us. You don't see that in some countries in Africa, but we are blessed here in the United States that our kids have access to those life-saving medications.
So tell us a little bit now. I mean, we all can have a picture of, a sad picture in our head of, you know, a little baby who's just born and for whatever reason, the mom can't take care of the baby. And so they now go in a crib to a place like Incarnation Children's Center where they receive kind of loving, high quality professional care. So we kind of have that picture in our head. But I know that right now the 20 or so young people at Incarnation Children's Center, you know, they're probably more in the age of 14 to 17 to 19, and they're not little babies in the crib. So what's a day look like for, you know, one of the people who is there?
Sure. Well, so we do it all here, right? In the small nonprofit world where we want the very, very best for the people we serve, we make sure we meet all of their needs, and that includes their medical care. So all of the life-saving medications, we help them get used to taking them, manage the side effects of them, understand what it means to take medications for the rest of their lives, support them medically for not only their HIV disease, but anything else they're dealing with medically. And some of our kids do come in with cerebral palsy or diabetes or end-stage renal disease, cancer. So we address all of their medical needs, but we also realize that because their lives are extended through these great medications, that we want to address all of their other needs as well. So that's their mental health needs. Many of these kids have come from either single-parent homes or foster care or homes where there may have been abuse or neglect or substance abuse. And so they do come in with a variety of mental health needs that we address. educational needs as well. We want to make sure that they get the best education, and because we hope that their future is a bright one. And whether that's a high school diploma or perhaps a community college or some vocational training, we make sure we do that here as well. So their day really is very busy, from taking medications, meeting with our nutritionist, making sure that they're healthy and strong, meeting with our social workers to make sure they're in the right programs and that we are moving them ahead and forward towards a productive future.
So, Megan, I've been there. I've visited a number of times and seen the wonderful work that's there. I've also seen, you know, a range of you know, young women and young men who are there. Some of them, a few, not many, but some, you know, are medically very compromised. They're in maybe a wheelchair or something, some other device that assists them to get around. And then there are many other of the young men and young women there who, to the surface, seemingly are healthy. They don't have any tubes. They don't have anything. They're just, you know, they're teenagers who are there. Is my memory serving me right?
That's absolutely correct. We do have a number of our residents who are quite medically compromised and do come in with physical disabilities, you know, or learning disabilities, a variety of issues. But there are some who are very sick, and they certainly need our help. And to be here, they do need to have that medical need, because we are a skilled nursing facility. But I don't want to say that it's a blessing, that's not the right word, but HIV disease can be invisible, right? So we do have a number of kids who actually may or may not be managing their HIV disease well, but on the surface, they look like just a normal kid. And that's really what we want for them, right, is to feel normal, that there's nothing wrong with them, that they can do the same things we all can do. But it's misleading a little bit, because under the surface, really, there's such emotional turmoil and histories of trauma. You know, it's very hard to live with a lifelong illness, especially one that holds such stigma, even in this day and age. So, you know, that's always something we're looking at, is that they may seem like everything's okay, but really they're struggling with so much under the surface.
So would the kids who are, you know, on the surface, seemingly physically able to, you know, get around, they don't need much assistance with kind of the ordinary events of daily living and things like that, would they be going out to school?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, we try as best we can to make sure that their lives are as unaltered or, you know, as normal as possible. So if there is a way that we can maintain the relationship with the school a child came from before they were admitted to ICC, we make sure that we continue that relationship. And we sometimes act as parents. We go to parent-teacher conferences. But we do want them out in the community. We do want them connected to the resources where hopefully one day when they're discharged, they will, you know, continue those relationships and grow back in their communities.
Well, Megan Frederick, thank you for taking the time to be with us. I'm certain, again, as we talked previously, this time of the year is probably even a little bit more busy, in the sense that people's generosity is kind of inspired, and they want to help people who are struggling. And I bet you Incarnation Children's Center and the young people who are there are oftentimes the recipients of gifts at this Christmas season. Is that the case?
We do. We have some really wonderful people who have known us through the years who support us during the holidays. As many of us know, the holidays are a joyous time, but they can also be very difficult for people, for our kids, especially disconnected from their families. So we really try to do everything to make it the most special time and most meaningful. And so we do get some extra donations around the holidays. Of course, we're always looking for support. So our website is incarnationchildrencenter.org. And if anyone is interested in volunteering or donating or learning about what we do, we would love to have you come and visit and ask us questions and figure out what we can do to make the lives of these children even more special, especially around this time of year. And World AIDS Day, you know, December is a big month for these kids.
So, Megan Frederick, the Director of Development and Public Relations for Incarnation Children's Center, thank you so much for being with us, and thanks for the work that you do to enabling these kids to kind of live their lives in dignity. So, thanks so much for being with us on Just Love.
Thank you so much, Monsignor.
So, we're moving from the season of thanks to the season of giving, but it is the season that we have almost completely forgotten. What's the season we've almost completely forgotten in our church world?
Advent?
Yeah. Yeah, we kind of go from Thanksgiving to Christmas.
To Christmas,
and
yeah.
Advent's one of my favorite seasons.
Same here.
But you know what I want to say this year? I mean, and we made a distinction over the years, the difference between Lent and Advent. Mm-hmm. Lent is kind of focused on repentance, etc., and Advent on preparation, and not quite as somber as Lent. But I like to suggest that maybe they're not as distinct as we think, that you can prepare by changing, you can prepare by a little discipline, you can prepare by a little bit of repentance. And I'd like to suggest, given a lot that's going on in our world, and I know a lot of people are upset by the politics of what's going on, obviously in our own church, there are problems that are really there. So maybe as part of our Lenten or our Advent preparation for Christmas, maybe we should think about a little bit of discipline, a little bit of sacrifice that we might undertake ourselves in order to prepare again for celebrating the coming of Jesus. So we'll talk more about Advent in the upcoming weeks. Thanks for being with us on Just Love. Just do it. Love God, neighbor, self. Make our world more just and more compassionate. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. This is Just Love, the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Listening to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.